This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny. And the year.
Hey, you need to say that again.
And the year is 1983.
1983.
I don't know what to say after that.
1983 was a
How old were you in 1983? Five?
Six.
Six.
Well, at the end of the year, I was six.
I was eight.
Yeah. 1983, as I was doing my research for this, was a surprisingly fun year in movies.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about those.
We are.
And then we can talk about what else came out.
Sure. That sounds good. But before that, what happened in 1983?
The last episode of MASH aired in 1983.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What was that? Like 110 million people watched that or something?
It didn't put it in there, but it was 251 episodes... highest rated episode in TV history.
Still, to this day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's been beat.
If it was, it was by like a Super Bowl.
What was it? 11 seasons, 251 episodes. And the last episode was called Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched that recently? It's on Hulu.
No. Because in the break room, MeTV will be on.
Oh, okay.
Like sometimes I'll catch episodes.
Yeah. So I went back and I watched the season finale. Probably like 6 months ago.
I've seen that in a long time.
Dude, it is rough. I mean, like, rough is in like really good and compelling.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good. It's like, I loved MASH. It was like one of those ones as a kid where like I was too young to probably watch, but like I enjoyed it.
The thing is, you understood the funny stuff.
Yeah.
That happened in episodes as a kid, but now it's the thing where you understand everything in there. And the funny stuff's funnier because you're an adult and you get the adult comedy.
I will say this, watching MASH makes me appreciate ER even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's, you know, I would say that they were probably the creators of ER were fans.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. What else?
Well, this one's actually like a 3-for-1. Space Shuttle Challenger launched.
Yep.
Sally Ride was the first American woman in space.
Yep.
And Guyon Bluford was the first African American in space.
Sweet.
And I think they were on the Challenger.
Yeah,
not
they
that
were
first flight, but they were on the Challenger that year.
Yeah. Very cool. I remember Sally Ride. Like she was everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
She was their recruitment poster.
She was their golden girl.
And then she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was the one that revealed the O-ring thing for Challenger.
Right.
Ironically. Yeah. The Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program, also known as DARE, was introduced in the United States.
Did you have a DARE officer?
No.
You guys didn't? We had a DARE officer.
At least not in elementary school.
Well, no. It was, we had one in high school.
Really?
I remember that.
We had police.
So, you were a little more rough and tumble.
I was more in a
City school, and I was in a farm school. So
McDonald's introduced the McNugget.
Interesting.
In 1983.
Wow.
The top song of 1983 was Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Seems legit.
Jenga was introduced at the London Toy Fair.
Jenga.
Yeah. You thought it was around longer than it was.
No, actually, I didn't. I thought that thing came out in the 90s.
No, it came out in 83.
I'm surprised that it's as old as it is.
The rock band Kiss appeared for the first time in public without their makeup on.
I remember
MTV.
That. I mean, I don't remember watching it, but
they
I remember that
conference.
Being a thing.
Yeah.
So
Motown celebrated its 25th anniversary with a TV special called Motown 25, Yesterday, Today, Forever, during which Michael Jackson performed Billie Jean and introduced the world to the moonwalk.
I do remember watching that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Swatch introduced their first watches.
Did you ever do the multiple swatches?
No.
I never did that either. No. I tell you what I loved about swatches, though, because I definitely had a swatch.
Yeah.
Was that little rubberized, like, bone-looking thing that, like, went over the top.
Right.
And so it was great because it protected the quartz.
Right.
But then you could never know if it was 6 o'clock or midnight.
Well, sure, yeah. So. Right. Let's see. The first mobile phones are introduced to the public by mm-hmm. Motorola.
Yeah. It was those the bag thing, right?
Yeah, the bag and the thing. Yeah. the carry-on.
My dad had one of those, jeez. Right? And I remember because it could come out of the car, but then when it went in the car, it plugged into that piggly tail antenna.
Yeah, because you had to have the antenna to talk. And that I remember seeing them a lot like on Dallas and shows like those. The Cabbage Patch doll was introduced and sold in shops.
Cool.
Or not found in shops.
Because I was going to say, wait, they were selling those? Because
I remember those sold out. Like my sister getting one either 83 or 84.
Yeah.
And mom and dad had to stand in line for that.
Didn't your sister just have a birthday?
Nah, our birthday's in August.
Is it? Okay. I don't know what I was saying that.
Apple released the Apple IIe personal computer.
Yup.
April 18th at 7 in the morning, Disney Channel launched.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was a premium.
Yes, it was for a long, long time. Yeah. So
there was 4 major shows that caught my eye as premiering in 1983. Fraggle Rock premiered on HBO.
Yeah.
It was their first original programming.
Yeah.
He-Man the Masters of the Universe premiered. The A-Team premiered. Okay. And Reading Rainbow premiered in 1983.
All major shows in our lives. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And that's 1983.
Awesome.
I didn't include any of the invasions or the terrorism.
Yeah,
we
don't want to talk about that.
Oh, there is one other thing. What does Ronald Reagan and George Lucas have in common that happened in 1983?
They were both shot?
No, Star Wars.
Ah. Cool. All right, can I talk about a couple of the movies that came out? Okay. So, interesting movie tidbit. Tom Cruise was in 3 movies that came out in 1983.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Was Risky Business one of them?
That's correct.
Taps?
Nope.
Damn. All the Right Moves?
That's 2.
And I don't know the other one.
The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
and
The Outsiders.
That almost made my list, actually.
Yeah, that was close to my list. So that was really interesting. Krull came out in 1983, mm-hmm. As did Scarface. And, the Al Pacino Scarface, which was like a bomb.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is funny to think about. Valley Girl, the first Nick mm-hmm. Cage movie came out.
Yep.
Oh, well, I think he'd done Fast Times first, but this was like his first like real starring role.
He was a star.
And then there were 2 Bond movies, Octopussy, and then, like you were saying before we went on the air, the unofficial Bond, Never mm-hmm. Say Never Again.
Yeah.
So,
because Octopussy had Roger Moore.
Yeah.
And Sean Connery was in Never Say Never Again.
Yep. And
which
so,
Steven Seagal broke Sean Connery's wrist in that movie.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Very interesting. So, okay. Then real quick, the box office, the top 10.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Terms of Endearment.
Was Return of the Jedi number 1?
Yeah.
Really?
According to IMDb.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Terms of Endearment won the best picture for that year.
Flashdance.
Mm-hmm.
Trading Places.
Okay.
War Games.
Yeah.
Octopussy.
Yep.
Sudden Impact, the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, one of the Dirty Harry movies.
Staying Alive.
The sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Mr. Mom.
The sequel to Mr. Dad.
To Dr. Detroit.
There you go.
Which came out.
To Batman.
Which
came
out in 1983.
It was a prequel to Batman.
Dr. Detroit also came out in 1983. And then Risky Business rounded out the top 10.
Dr. Detroit, Jesus. So. That's like DC Cap.
DC Cap came out in 1983 as well. So
1983 was a big year for me.
I told you, like, as I was going through this, it was a fun year. And like, I go back and I look at these movies that came out and like, this was cable television for us from 1987 to 1992. I mean, this is what
rentals
these are
and
the
cable
things we
television
were raised on. All right. All right. Let's just hop into it to steal Phil
Did
DeFranco's
else
line
happen?
There. I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
I didn't know if anything else caught your eye.
No, nothing else caught your eye. Okay. So to get into the movie talk first, there's one that we both obviously had on our list.
We knew that was going to be.
And that was Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
For me, Return of the Jedi, while Empire Strikes Back was the first movie I was ever taken to, and I remember it, sort of.
Yeah, well, yeah, you were...
I was 3.
Yeah, I was going to say you were 3.
And The Last Jedi was the first movie, or The Last Jedi, the
Return of the Last Jedi.
Return of the Last Jedi. Return of the Jedi was the first movie that really affected me.
Okay.
In a way, like, I had the Star Wars toys.
It affected you in the way of, Mom, I want those Ewok stuffed animals.
I was terrified of the Rancor, and I had nightmares about it for years.
And the guys at ILM just went, yes!
I mean, it was like, what they, I was obsessed with Jabba the Hutt. Coming out of that movie.
Okay.
I was too young to be like, ooh, Slave Leia, you know? But
Slave Leia.
And your mom and dad were like, Johnny, what are you doing in the bathroom so long?
I wasn't at that age yet.
Anyway.
It was one of those things where I was like, ooh.
So since we've been back, I rewatched episode 1, 3, Rogue One, and the OT.
Okay.
And I can understand how episode 1 is starting to come around again. Like people are like, oh, it's an actual good movie.
It's sentimentality.
And
it is.
There is that. There's the nostalgia factor because it's the 20th anniversary. I feel like I'm overly harsh on, and I've said this before, I feel like I'm overly harsh on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's a goddamn fun movie.
It's a adventure romp movie.
It's absolutely not my favorite Star Wars movie. I don't think it's even in my top five anymore.
I don't remember at this point.
But it is a fun ass movie.
Disney's just produced too many that I can't keep track of now.
and watching it makes me more excited for The Mandalorian now too. Just knowing,
because there might be stories that
it takes place. Like, I don't know if it was you who said about, like, we could get Rex for an episode.
Sure, yeah.
I think you said that last week.
Yeah.
That would be so incredibly awesome.
Yeah, Rex would be able to.
Hera could show up, or at the very least, the ghost could be in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Jason Sudeikis could run around and like force push somebody over.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of opportunity in that, especially with Dave Filoni like working on it.
Yeah, I mean, we can find it. Maybe they could do like live action Ezra and Hera.
Maybe
so.
Well, we won't get Ezra. They still haven't found him at that point.
Yeah,
they're looking for him.
It would be
cool to see Ashley Eckstein show up as Ahsoka Tano.
That would be really cool.
I think that she could do it. I think that she would be able to pull it off. Physically, her and
especially with the
very similar
with the white robe.
Yeah. Oh,
excuse me. The older Ahsoka that was introduced at the end of Very End of Rebels.
I mean, we're getting enough of the, you know, nostalgia factor just from the preview that we've seen, because EV-99 was a bartender and, you know, so
the Salacious Crumb creature. What is his race? I always forget.
Kowakian space monkey or something.
Whatever.
Like that?
They were being barbecued and looked delicious.
Yeah.
So
that one didn't look too happy.
No. He's like, what's going on? Why are you eating me?
Salacious Crumb did not survive that sail barge.
No, he did not. So what did you have to say about Return?
It's not a favorite and it's not a hated movie. It's one of the middle ground. Like, I enjoy the first act. I enjoy the stuff in Jabba's palace. A lot of, you know, strange looking aliens. The Ewoks are fun.
Yeah.
The Imperials are fun because it's, you know, they think they got it this time. And it's like, nah, I got it.
We got this.
Yeah. It was cool to see the Emperor finally, who was a mysterious, you know, hologram in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. It's funny that people seem to
it was that thing
look
where
nostalgically at that, yet Snoke was the same thing.
You just look at the Emperor and you're like, when he comes walking down the
Lambda class shuttle.
Yeah, when he comes out of the shuttle and he walks down and you see him for the first time and you're like, what the hell happened to this guy?
Yeah.
And then you find out and you're like, well, the makeup looked better in Return of the Jedi. It did. I'm just going to be over here in the corner looking at Return of the Jedi makeup.
It's like, wow, ILM. Wow.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Like that one disturbed me when I seen Revenge of the Sith. But it was cool because the Emperor was still mysterious enough. Like, you know, he gets out and the first thing he calls Vader is his friend. And you're like, wait a minute, Darth Vader's got a friend? And it's like, wonder why they're friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh.
So.
And then he throws him down the pit and you're like, That wasn't.
No, that's not really, a very friendly thing to
really
do.
You weren't really friends, were you?
So, okay, so we're at the 20th year of episode one.
Yes.
And, you know, this movie came out in 1983, and we happen to be talking about this. So there was an article about how kids who watch, whose parents showed them 1 through 6
in order,
numeric order.
Yes.
When they get to Star Wars and into Empire.
Yes.
Vader is a sympathetic character to them.
Possibly.
Because
yeah.
they followed Anakin. And, right. and, you know, they know he's Anakin. There's not the surprise that
the
he's
tortured,
Luke's dad.
The tortured character. Right. Yeah, and but it ruins things,
It
too,
absolutely does. It ruins the reveal. So
you're well, the whole thing with Leia. We don't find out about Leia until Return of the Jedi.
Right.
That she is
yeah,
a Skywalker.
That she's a,
yeah.
she's a Skywalker.
And, I mean, you know, it's like Obi-Wan's kind of an asshole
yeah.
at a certain point yeah. because... Oh, I just kept this from you.
Yeah, I'm just not going to say anything.
Well, Yoda so. Talking about another. Well, yeah. Yoda should have just said, your yeah. sister's name's Leia, and that we gave her to the dude that runs that planet that got blown up.
That ran Alderaan.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, well, it's funny because I have a new friend at work, and she, we're like, we've all like kind of rallied around to like give her a movie-cation.
Yeah.
And so we had
What's
her watch
movie-cation?
A movie education.
Oh, okay.
So we had her watch the original
Too
trilogy.
Too many of the words being put together.
She watched the original trilogy, and she loved Empire, right? And
good for her.
Jabba disgusted her so much that she just couldn't get past it and
Jabba
enjoyed the rest of.
Very disgusting.
Yeah.
Like so. You know, that's you know, the ultimate male chauvinist.
Yeah.
He didn't scare me. The Rancor didn't scare me. Nothing in this movie really scared me.
No.
I think, like, the Sarlacc pit probably was the worst thing. Like, because you were, like, the description of, you yeah. know, dying for 1,000 years and that type of stuff made it worse. Made well, it sound worse.
I remember thinking,
and
how are you going to die
they ruined
for 1,000 years?
Just, you didn't digest it for
yeah, I know, right?
Years.
So.
Unless you're Boba Fett. You just blow the hell out of the place and Dengar pulls you out. That's how it happened in the Legends universe.
I know. Stupid Dengar.
I like
Boba
that,
Fett.
Though. I like that that
no,
was like, you know,
cool.
I like that idea, too, because it's like Boba Fett had friends. Like, you know, actual, like, genuine, like, some of the bounty hunters were his friends. And it was, of course, Dengar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, you know. Dengar's story is different, I guess, now than it was before.
Right.
Disney.
Yeah. Disney. Grumber.
Well, the whole story of his bandaging and medical
yeah.
outfit was because of him and Han Solo grew up on Corellia and were racers.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. well, that didn't happen now.
No. yeah, I feel
Unless
like...
Unless they would have thrown it. They could have thrown it in Solo.
They should have thrown it in
yeah,
Solo.
Yeah, and it would have been cool, but, you know. No
like,
biggie.
Dengar could have been driving the speeder
but
that was chasing
Dengar
them.
Dengar a Mandalorian.
Maybe. Yeah. That would be awesome.
That would
so.
Be cool, too.
All right.
We're getting 1988, so... So...
Let's hop in.
Do you want to do the other one that we crossed over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trading Places.
Trading Places.
I love this movie.
It's a great John Landis movie.
It absolutely is.
Not that John Landis has really done any bad movies.
This might be my favorite Dan Aykroyd performance.
I could get with that. Yeah.
Like, not my favorite Eddie Murphy. I love Eddie Murphy in this movie.
Eddie Murphy's great in this movie.
He's amazing. But Dan Aykroyd just brings something to this movie when he's like the down on his luck, and you know
when he gets put into the situation where he's the poor man, it's like you get to see Dan Aykroyd playing two different types of roles,
right.
really, in one
oh,
movie.
Yeah.
And that whereas Eddie Murphy's just playing the same role,
yeah,
just one's rich, one version of him's rich, and it's still you know him playing his character. And that where Dan Aykroyd has to work his way out of stuff,
right? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, then Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche.
Oh,
you know Mortimer and yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw, but they often call this a take on Mark Twain's The Prince and the Pauper.
It could be,
which
yeah.
I can totally see. But yeah, no, we get to see Jamie Lee Curtis and her Curtises in this movie, which was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think this was PG-13, too. Oh, no, it was R. So,
yeah, that
I didn't see this one until high school, but... Still, like, I just fell in love with this movie from the minute I saw it, and enjoy it, and you know, just yeah,
it's a fun movie. I mean, they're all fun in it. It's Jamie Lee Curtis in comedy. I think, like, you know, I knew her from Halloween,
yeah,
and The Fog. Yeah. At that point when I seen this movie, and to see her in comedy and not be screaming, and you know, this is pretty much her training for True Lies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, definitely that, like I said, you really can't go wrong with, John Landis directing,
Jim Belushi, in the gorilla suit.
Yeah.
Was awesome. You know? So, yeah. I don't know. Great movie. Great movie. Let's see.
I like the little thing that they did in Coming to America that tied to this movie with the Duke brothers.
Yep.
That was fun. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's all John Landis.
Yeah, it absolutely was. So this movie had a budget of $15 million and its box office did $90 million.
Yeah.
So it's also, at the time, was the second highest earning rated R film.
Yeah, you're looking at
of 1983. IMDb, I'm on Wikipedia, but
so
anyway,
prior to this film, John Landis didn't know who Eddie Murphy was.
Interesting.
It says 48 Hours hadn't come out yet, but they previewed it, and Eddie Murphy had previewed very well, and they thought, this kid's going to be a star. Landis recalled of his discussions with Paramount Pictures, so they said, what do you think about Eddie Murphy playing the Billy Ray Valentine part? And John Landis said, who's Eddie Murphy?
Nice. Eddie Murphy's production company also helped produce this. So, well,
you know. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun, like, just goofy movie. So
yeah. The music is great. The whole, like, the theme is great. I really like when Lewis just falls apart and, like, you know, kind of is like, okay, this is my life now.
Yeah. Denham Elliott's in this too.
Yeah.
And he's great.
So all right, cool.
A lot of people
so,
that are gone.
Yeah, no kidding. What's your first different movie? Because normally we have a little more crossover than
this one
time,
we did not. Because we had to pick an extra movie. And
right.
I went through and was like, well, what would I pick? And I was like, I picked Porky's 2 the next day.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it in years, but I love this movie. I thought this movie was, like, hilarious.
I don't think I ever saw Porky's 2.
I seen it as a kid.
Yeah.
And I seen the first two Porky's movies as a kid. I can remember. And this one was way funnier to me than the first one.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of, like, just shenanigans in this movie.
Yeah.
That just make me laugh. And I even looked, like, the other night when I put it on the list, I looked on Roku to see if it was on anything, and it's not on anything.
Huh. Not even to buy or rent.
Not even to buy or rent.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay. So, but it's a fun movie. It was directed by Bob Clark, who I think he directed the first one too. Most of the original cast came back, and there was new cast members and that, but it's just a fun movie. I think it's the first time I learned about the Klan was from that movie.
Yeah, so, I wish I could say that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was, you know, one of those things where it was comedy, but they were making a social message, too.
Yeah.
About stuff. So that was fun. That's cool. Pretty much all I can really say. I haven't seen it in probably five or 6 years. So.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one down. Okay, so my first one is War Games.
Yeah.
Because the rest of my movies kind of have a theme to them. So this first one here is War Games.
Games is not part of the theme.
I love Matthew Broderick.
Sure.
So
this is his first major starring role, wasn't it?
Because Ferris Bueller was 86.
Right.
So, you know, it was, but I saw Ferris Bueller before I saw this one.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So after seeing that, I kind of went back through and I was like at the video store one day and it's like, oh, Matthew Broderick in a movie? And it's got the girl from The Breakfast Club. All right.
It's got the girl from
Well, because Ally Sheedy, right?
Yeah, I know.
And then
just thought that was funny the way you said that.
So when I go back to my to the 80s, right, one of my favorite actors is Dabney Coleman.
Okay.
So, I liken, like, so, like, Carl Urban.
Yeah.
If he's in something, I'm going to watch it.
Sure.
Because his on-base percentage for, like, good movies is super high.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like Dabney Coleman was in the 80s.
Yeah, Dabney
like
Coleman was
this, Daryl, like, you know, all,
nine
all
to
these,
five.
Yeah, 9 to 5. Yeah, yeah. You know, he just had a string of probably like 10 movies.
Cloak and Dagger?
Cloak and Dagger. That's the other one I was thinking of that I love. But yeah, I mean, he just did, oh, Tootsie.
Yeah.
Beverly Hillbillies, right, in the 90s. You know, he was in You Got Mail in the 90s.
Was he in that? I've never seen that. So.
Oh, yeah. He's Tom Hanks' dad.
Oh, okay.
On Golden Pond, which I really love. If you go back, he's in the Steve McQueen Towering Inferno. You know,
oh, yeah.
So,
well, everybody's in the Towering Inferno.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I've always enjoyed Dabney Coleman. And when he's on something, I try and watch it. So, sure. So yeah, that was that, and then I was into computers.
Well, right,
you know,
yeah. I mean,
this was
like I said, the Apple IIe came out that year.
This was one of those movies that, like, when I saw it, I was probably 10, and I was like, I was learning about like how to build a computer. And
sure, yeah.
I was starting to learn my first, you know, lines of code and things like that. I had my first modem. And you know, to date myself,
and then people
know.
Seen this movie and took away the motor.
Yeah, no kidding. I remember after my parents saw this, they were like, "You're not allowed to call out anymore on the
right.
on the whatever it is you're using," is right. how they would say. And yeah.
Well, between this and what was the one with John Lithgow, and I forget when it came out. It wasn't My Science Project. Maybe it was the Manhattan Project or something like that. It was the one where the kid makes a nuclear bomb. You've never seen that?
I don't remember that. So
it's John Lithgow. It's great.
But
it's another one where you're like, damn, these kids were like super smart.
Well, I always played chess against the computer.
Well, sure.
Right? I had that chess game, and so that was really fun. Just real quick, this one was released on May 7th, 1983 at Cannes, and then later in June in the U.S., it made $79.6 million on a $12 million budget.
Okay.
I mean, these movies just flat out made money.
Well, it was the 80s. Everybody's going to the movies.
But still, I mean, like, I think if you adjust this today, this is well over $150 million, yeah. You know, at the box office, which is great. There was a sequel called War Games: The Dead Code released direct to DVD in 2008.
Well, you don't talk about that type of stuff.
No.
Be a sequel, really? I mean, did Matthew Broderick show up?
No, I don't know. I didn't watch it.
The Manhattan Project was the movie I was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. That came out in 1986.
I've seen that then. Well, yeah. No, I saw the Manhattan Project about...
Not this one.
Okay, I have not seen that movie.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. You like, I mean, John Lithgow, obviously, you know, is awesome. So
the first thing I really remember John Lithgow from is Harry and the Hendersons.
Really?
And then the second thing I remember him from was Ricochet with Denzel.
Yeah.
Where he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he was terrifying.
Yeah.
So then I didn't really watch anything with him again until Third Rock from the Sun.
Do you want to know what my first John Lithgow movie was?
Sure.
The World According to Garp.
Oh. Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah. So that's, yeah, cool.
Yeah. And I was a kid, and it's like, why is that guy dressed up like a woman? Literally, you know, because back then that was the thing. And I think the next thing I seen him in was the Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah.
Where he played the same role that Shatner had played, Terror 30,000 Feet or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So.
Or Death at 30,000, I think.
My next one.
Yeah.
Is The Right Stuff. Which is based off the novel by Tom Wolfe.
Wait, it wasn't based off of the New Kids on the Block song?
No.
You got the right stuff.
No.
Baby.
Weren't they 90s?
I don't know.
This was the 80s. We're talking about 1983.
Scott Glenn is in The Right Stuff.
This movie has everybody in it.
Yeah.
Literally. Ed Harris plays John Glenn. Scott Glenn. Dennis Quaid. Fred Ward, Sam Shepard, and my cousin's in it, I think.
Your cousin?
No.
That's funny.
No, it literally, hold on, let me pull up the cast because I don't have the whole cast on my paper. But yeah,
it has
you've seen
everyone.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was in this movie and something else. So Sam Shepard played Chuck Yeager. Scott Glenn played Alan Shepard. Ed Harris played John Glenn. Dennis Quaid played Gordon Cooper. Fred Ward played Gus Grissom. Barbara Hershey's in this movie. Veronica Cartwright's in this movie. Scott Paulin played Deke Slayton.
Did you say Al?
Lance Hendrickson is in this movie.
Did you say Ed Harris was in the movie?
Yeah, he plays John Glenn.
And then someone else played Gus Grissom. And then didn't he play Gus Grissom in Apollo 13?
No, he played Deke Slayton.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay.
Which Scott Paulin plays Deke Slayton in this movie.
Okay.
Donald Moffat, who showed up in a lot of things over the years, played Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Scott Wilson was in this movie.
Cool.
Kathy Baker.
Wow.
A lot of like people that you've seen over the years. So, yeah, it's an awesome movie. Jeff Goldblum is in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum's got like two scenes in this movie, and it involves some running. So, I mean, it's just an awesome, like, fictionalized version of what happened with the Mercury 7 and all that type stuff. So, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
I mean,
it was a great
movie.
Even
though it's fictionalized, it's still enjoyable.
It's great.
To watch and that. So, lots of, like, stuff with the space program. You know, and I think that Tom Wolfe did research his stuff, because a lot of the stuff is actual, like, close to factual. And I don't think it was totally fictionalized, and that just the order of things and, you know, how things happen. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, like, I didn't see this one as a kid. I think I've seen this as later on, but before like Apollo 13 was a thing.
Yeah, this was, I saw this in high school.
Yeah.
So, which is like,
it might have been, it might have been like junior high school in a history class.
It was when we moved into downtown Mason and you know where UDF is?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a video store right there.
Oh, okay.
And I could ride my bike. So,
Yeah.
Or when I turned.
But yeah, in school, they showed a lot of like movies. And that in history class and that, you know, even stuff that you wouldn't expect to see in history class, we've seen in history class. So
yeah.
That's pretty much all I have to say about the right stuff.
Sweet. All right. So beginning with my theme, the rest of my movies are comedies.
Yeah.
Apparently 1983 may be my actual favorite year for comedies, because all of these movies I've seen in double digits.
Well, right.
The number of times I've seen them.
Well, they're old. So.
Well, that's true, but there's lots of old movies that I haven't seen 10 times.
Okay.
So, like, I've not seen The Right Stuff 10 times. I've seen The Right Stuff maybe 3.
I've watched The Right Stuff probably more than 10 times.
Right. All right. So, National Lampoon's Vacation.
I probably watched that more than
Too. Yeah. Love this movie. Directed by Harold Ramis. You know, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Randy Quaid, Anthony Michael Hall, John Candy, Christy Brinkley. Makes a great little cameo. You know, John Hughes wrote the or was based on a story, or he wrote the screenplay based on his short story Vacation 58, which was in National Lampoon magazine.
Right.
So yeah, this is a great little slice of life comedy about just the everyman who doesn't quite get what he needs out of life.
Especially in the 80s, that was a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Real quick, it was released on July 29th, 1983. And you have to remember back then, like, it wasn't the summer blockbuster season.
No.
The good movies came out, like, in the fall and when the weather started to turn.
Sure.
Budget of $15 million, made $61.4.
Okay.
I love this movie. I love Christmas Vacation. Vegas Vacation is okay. European Vacation, I can watch.
That's the first
but,
one I ever seen.
Yeah, that was my same.
Yeah.
And then the Vacation remake with Ed Helms.
It wasn't a remake.
Or not remake, reboot? No, sequel.
It wasn't even really a reboot.
Because he plays Rusty.
He plays Rusty. Which they could have got Anthony Michael Hall to come back.
They could have.
Yeah.
Or Johnny Galecki.
Could have got, what's his name, Jason... that played him in the second one, the European Vacation. Yeah.
I mean, Ethan Embry could have come back to play him. There were lots of people, like, you know. But I think
I think that Anthony Michael Hall would have been fun, because I think he would have had the comedic delivery that they needed.
Sure.
And I think that Ed Helms overdid it.
Yeah, well,
too much.
That's what Ed Helms does.
And I think that, like, you know, Anthony Michael Hall and Christina Applegate probably would have been really, like, a good pairing.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
But anywho.
Probably because Anthony Michael Hall is, like, giant now.
What do you mean?
Buff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a nice guy.
Yeah.
A genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked him on The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
I like him in that movie, The Trojan War, with Will Friedle.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Marley
I forgot
Shelton,
about that one.
Where he's
yeah.
the bus driver. No free rides.
Johnny B. Good.
Yeah. Johnny B. Good is great.
Yep.
But yeah. But back to this. I mean, the whole idea of the summer road trip and everything going wrong and you know, just, you know, him, Chevy Chase, like the insurmountable optimism.
Right, yeah.
Is just so much
fun.
He
just wanted his kids
movie.
To have a fun vacation.
He just wanted to give them the one thing that he never had as
right.
a kid,
yeah.
which was a great vacation.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway. And it brought the term family truckster into my life.
Okay.
Which I actually use way more than you would ever think. Whenever I see someone driving, they're like, yeah, I got a big car. I'm like, oh, a family truckster? You know, yeah. like, or
sure.
look at that family truckster go by. So. Yeah.
You don't see any of those anymore.
Well, no, I don't think they even make
They're
station
wagons
anymore. They're
not fuel efficient.
So. All right, cool. What's up next?
The next one is Crawl, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I've watched this at least once a month.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I love this movie.
Crawl is great.
It's so hokey that I love it
I probably
so
haven't
much.
Watched it in 10 years, but
so,
I thoroughly enjoy Crawl.
This is one of Liam Neeson's first like major roles is in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liam Neeson and Robbie Coltrane. Hagrid.
Oh yeah.
Is in this movie
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And that. So here's a little bit of trivia for you that you probably don't know about this movie or about an actor in this movie. The guy who plays Colwyn, Kim Marshall.
Yeah.
Was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
He
played Security Officer Eddington, Michael Eddington,
yeah,
the one who becomes a Maquis.
Right.
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. This movie's just fun. This is like everything that a kid would want in a movie.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this as a kid, but as an adult, I love this movie so much more than as a kid. And that sci-fi, fantasy, like this movie has a little bit of everything in it. So it's just a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's got a British accent. This was like one of those movies like with Last Starfighter and Beastmaster and all that. Like those were the movies that, you know, as a kid I loved.
Right.
So,
yeah. Oh, Beastmaster. I loved Beastmaster.
Yeah. You know, I wanted a glaive. Like, you know, the glaive would have been
the glaive
awesome,
would have been so great
like
to have.
Like an awesome weapon to have. And that, but like, you know, Cyclops and a wizard and the kid was his, you know.
It was like the perfect mix of like sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, flying horses and, you know, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's still a fun movie. And the soundtrack for that movie is like beyond
all the score and everything.
James Horner score. Psh. Yeah, but the glaive was like always one of those things where I'm like, man, why didn't anybody ever make that? Like, you know, when everybody's making all these, like weapons from movies and that, nobody's ever made a glaive. I've never seen you know, one of the big companies make a glaive, and I think they would actually sell it.
That sounds like something Mondo.
20 years from now, they won't sell it, but
right.
you know.
That sounds like something Mondo would do.
Yeah.
So, hey, Mondo, if you're listening, make a glaive. Or Funko, make a Funko version of it.
So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those fun movies. Villain isn't that great, but, you know, villain don't have to be that great. And the one thing I read like a couple years ago when I was watching it, because I'm like, the girl who plays Lyssa is British.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her and she was in the Dark Shadows remake they did in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like her. And she the whole movie was voiced over like her because she was too British, I guess, that they had a American actress voice over for her. And
that
I'm
sucks.
Like, okay.
Huh.
Meanwhile, Ken Marshall's trying to do a British accent.
Yeah, right. He's getting his Kevin Costner.
Well, it's like Freddie Jones appears. Freddie Jones was in Dune and that. So, you know, he plays the wise old wizard man. And Alan Armstrong, who's in a lot of British movies, is the like main leader of the criminals that Cohen pretty much recruits.
Yeah.
Without them even asking.
Sweet.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a fun movie.
It is. You're right.
And it's a movie that you can show your kids and like not be afraid.
No,
like,
and I think it's on. And, it's on Amazon right now.
It probably is. So yeah, I own it. So
well, yeah,
yeah. I think I own it on
probably multiple forms of
DVD
media
and Blu-ray at this point.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it's a fun movie though. This awesome. Is one where I would like if people were like, "What can I show my kids?" I'd be like, "You can show them Krull."
Yeah,
yeah. Krull's not. Crow's like Last Starfighter. That's, you know, you could show kids that and not worry about too much.
Which
violence.
The two jerks who live in my house both said was dumb.
Yeah.
And I almost kicked them out.
You know.
I was almost like, you guys have to go. You can't live here anymore.
Not everybody likes those movies.
Yeah. Not everybody. It's just disappointing.
What's your next one?
Mr. Mom.
Okay.
So the Stan Dragati directed, John Hughes written, Michael Keaton starring. Mr. Mom.
Had John Hughes directed anything at this point?
I don't know. I didn't look that up yet. So, anyway.
It's just interesting because, you know, two movies.
Yeah. This movie had a great cast as well. You know, Terry Garr, Martin Mull, Christopher Lloyd, Jeffrey Tambor.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, well, obviously I said Michael Keaton already. But it follows an unemployed engineer in Detroit who becomes a stay-at-home dad when his wife goes back to work in advertising.
His first movie was
16
Candles.
Who's?
John Hughes.
Director?
He was directing. Cool. Was 16 Candles awesome. In 1984.
So, no. Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this movie's fun because it's the first time we really see, like, the misadventures of a dad, which becomes a very popular trope in the late 90s, early 2000s television.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the prototype character for that.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost like a prototype Phil Dunphy in a way from Modern Family. Things I remember most. Jaws, the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Him playing cards with the ladies in the neighborhood. Yep. And then the one ingenue trying to seduce him.
Yep.
And he wasn't having any of it. Martin Mull playing a straight guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Just because I identify with him so much now from Roseanne.
Yeah, yeah.
When his character came out. And just the whole way he goes about his life and solving how to raise his kids and like try and still be masculine and at the same time like being sensitive enough to their needs and you know, taking great care of them. And, you know, I worked from home for a long time with the kid and, you know, so like that helps me, helped like kind of thinking about that, like thinking of Mr. Mom when I was home and like cooking and trying to clean, never to the standard that is acceptable in this household. But,
passive aggressive.
Lauren Shuler. And Aaron Spelling and Lynn Loring were the producers.
Okay.
Lauren Shuler, obviously, Donner, you know, X-Men is kind of the biggest feather in her cap.
I guess.
So, I mean, it spawned what?
You don't think it's
14 movies? No, it's probably not Mr. Mom. Mr. Mom, it does not have the budget, but it made $64.8 million, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, Terry Garr.
There's an interesting, like, I look at the trivia, and there's, Michael Keaton turned down Splash to do this movie.
Good call.
There you go.
Splash came out in the same, no, did Splash come out in 83?
84.
84, so.
Yeah.
I really.
And it's the first movie where he was top billed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, when did Gung Ho come out?
86?
Because I like Gung Ho, too, a lot.
I'm pretty sure that was, like, in 86.
This
kind of plays the same character as something he had the job. Like this was Gung Ho was the prequel to this movie.
This and Multiplicity
are
my two favorite Michael Keaton movies.
Okay.
With probably Far From Home and then Homecoming and then Batman.
See, you talked about Lauren Shuler Donner.
Yeah.
See, it says while Lauren Shuler Donner talked to her agent friend, Lori Perlman, Perlman told her about this guy who is really funny, whom she represented. Michael Keaton.
Cool.
After meeting Keaton and seeing his screen debut, Night Shift, Donner decided to send him the script.
Night Shift is great, too, with Henry Winkler.
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah,
a great
yeah.
movie.
That's a fun movie.
But, yeah, awesome. All right, so what do you have next?
My last one?
Yep. Oh, yeah, we're my down to our one. Last ones.
My last one is A Christmas Story. And I think I've talked about this on here before.
Maybe.
A couple of years ago. I like A Christmas Story.
It's a good movie.
I don't know what makes me like this movie, but I like it. I think it's because some of it does remind me of my family.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff that just is... reminds you of being a kid.
Did you have a wild pack of the neighbor's dogs come in and ruin your
no.
Thanksgiving or your Christmas
no,
turkey?
No, but my dad was the type of guy who would fix stuff and yeah. throw out explicatives. Yeah, so...
Friggin'
where I learned how to cuss. Sabbin. And the first time I did it was in front of my mom and dad.
And you blamed another kid?
And I told... And my mom asked where I learned it, and I said... Him.
You should have pointed at Jamie.
Oh no, she wasn't with us when I did it. No, but yeah,
that's poor timing.
Yep, I remember that. That was funny, and I'm like, that's what when he's fighting the furnace. I'm like, that just would be my dad. That would definitely be my dad. And just little things in the movie like just hit the right chords, and then sure. the movie as a Christmas movie is just fun.
Yeah.
I have watched this movie in the middle of summer before.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that it's, you know, just a fun little movie.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, it is.
Also
it's a fun
directed
movie.
By Bob Clark.
Yeah. And Gavin McLeod died not too long ago, right? Like 2 years ago?
Darren McGavin?
Darren McGavin, sorry.
Yeah.
I got most of it
Gavin
right.
Gavin McLeod is Captain Steubing from
that's right.
Love Boat.
He's dead,
Darren
too,
McGavin's
though.
Been dead for years.
Yeah.
And that. The funny thing is like I never associated that the mom in this movie is the mom in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Yeah. Like I never because she looks totally different.
Oh yeah.
And that Peter Billingsley.
We have him to thank for the MCU.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I think Joss Whedon gets way more credit than he should, and Peter Billingsley does not get enough.
Does not get enough credit.
Because he was the producer on Iron Man.
Right.
And he's the one who pushed for Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're buddies.
He's been a producer for a long time.
Yeah, now. He's produced some great stuff. Yeah. So, awesome, man.
I think he
yeah.
was one of the producers on JAG because his brother was on JAG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a fun movie. Like, it's totally quotable. Anytime.
Well, just the voiceover, Gene Shepard,
yeah.
who wrote the story, yeah. they brought him in to do the voiceover.
Which is
so
cool.
It's like that makes this movie even better because it's, you know, one of those movies where you're like, this happened a long time ago.
It's a labor
of love.
And we're just
getting a story. And, yeah. And it's like, that's where Wonder Years, you know, mm-hmm. Wonder Years was based off of the idea of this with the voiceover
right.
of the adult version.
Oh, this is very much
yeah.
the blueprint for Wonder Years.
Yeah. So it's just one of those, you know, movies that strikes the right chord with me and that it
yeah.
gets watched a couple times a year.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. My my last one.
The tongue on the...
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know how they did that?
No.
So that was a tube. That wasn't a real
sure.
flagpole. It was a tube, and it had a hole. And they told him to put his tongue on the hole, and there was a vacuum.
Oh,
like a
awesome.
Vacuum
so,
suction, so yeah. it sucked. So he could do that. So he could yeah. do stuck, stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it literally, like they said, that's how they did that.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, that's an awesome, cool
that
thing.
That is great movie magic.
Like, that's yeah, that's so, really cool movie
yeah.
magic right there. And it was filmed in Cleveland, so,
yeah.
you know, that was cool.
Yeah, the house is
Well, there. Jeff was living up there at the time, so I've heard some stories
oh,
about that
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. Cool, cool. All right, my last movie.
Yeah.
Is the Carl Reiner directed The Man with Two Brains.
Okay.
Starring Steve Martin and Kathleen Turner.
Yeah. I haven't seen this one in years.
This was the weirdest movie I ever saw
yeah.
when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
It only made $10 million in the
See,
box
I think
office.
The weirdest movie I ever saw as a kid that wasn't like a sci-fi movie, that was a comedy, was The Jerk, which was a Steve
which
Martin.
Which is, yeah. I love that movie. Well, I mean, Steve Martin is
well,
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's what I loved about this was he had like, you know, he was a neurosurgeon and, you know, he meets another woman and falls in love, and his wife is unfaithful, right. And you know, he's like, what do I do? And then they see he's got these brains and he does the switch.
Yep.
And, it was just, it was so funny. And like, I just remember him being so neurotic and like twitchy.
Yeah, his perfect Steve Martin role.
I had seen, like, obviously didn't see this in 1983. I'd seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels first.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And then, like, I just did a Steve Martin night where I went and I rented Three Amigos, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and this. And the only reason I rented The Man with Two Brains is because of the cover, the box art with him on it. And, his head opened up. I'm like, all right, this looks satisfyingly weird.
Right, yeah.
And it was one of those phases where I just wanted to watch weird shit. And it's fun, it's irreverent, it's goofy, it's dumb, you know.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And
it's been years since I've seen
it. I think Steve Martin is so, like, these are the types of roles where he really, really shined.
Yeah.
All three of those movies I mentioned are,
I've only seen three of them once.
And then, oh really?
Yeah.
So
I don't know why.
You know, whenever I tell people,
the availability of stuff is not what it should be on certain movies.
Whenever I tell people the name of our podcast, they say Infamous.
Yeah.
Like the line from the movie. Infamous. And I'm like, Infamous. And do the thing, you know.
Oh, Lord.
So
you take it over the top.
I do. I love doing that. Yeah. So it's fun. Anywho. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, fun stuff.
Yeah. And I actually ended on a comedy, so
yeah.
There you go.
There you go. All right, so if you're listening, some quick show news. I decided to put the show back up on Anchor as well.
I don't know what that is.
So if you're listening on Anchor, welcome. If you want to have a really cool app to listen to it and want something a little different, definitely check us out. Share the show. That would be great. What else? Oh, 5-star reviews. I don't think we've asked for those in a while. You know, if you like what you hear, go get the 5-star reviews. If you like what you hear, go to infospodcast.com/store, I think, or just go to the website and hit the store in the navigation at the top.
Yeah.
And visit our friends at the Flying Pork Apparel Company and pick up a shirt.
There you go.
Or you can pick up one of the sweet Imperial Chance Star Wars shirts that I'm wearing right now.
That's on there also.
Those are on there as well. Yeah.
There you go.
So anyway, cool. Anything else?
I guess next week we'll be talking about Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. When are you going? Did you get your ticket yet?
Yeah, I got my ticket.
When are you going?
Thursday. Like literally right after work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you, till 6?
Yeah. So I'm working. I'm leaving a little early.
You're going to have to hump it over there?
Yeah.
Is Elva just meeting you there?
No.
You're going by yourself?
Not going. I'm going by myself.
Dude, I took off Friday and I'm going first thing Friday morning.
Well, it was that thing of how crowded it's going to be.
Yeah.
The same thing, like she avoided Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's all right. I said, take off Monday. We'll go see it Monday.
Yeah. So we're going, I'm going Friday morning and then we're all going Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So
should be fun.
This was the first movie in a long time that the minute tickets went on sale, I bought.
And I wasn't in any rush.
Yeah. I don't know why.
And that's the thing is I went down there, you know, you go in and buy it on the machine.
Yeah.
And I've seen movies sold out there before.
Yeah.
And it's not sold out there.
Interesting.
So I'm like,
That Milford Theater is nice.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's got, I mean, it's an old theater, like for an old theater, it's still pretty nice.
I mean, they've spent the money on their screens and on their sound equipment and now obviously on their, you know, cameras.
Yeah.
And that, whereas they've left
the stadium
seating,
yeah,
and all that. They didn't, you know, like, I feel like theaters have focused too much on the comfort,
yeah,
and not enough on the entertainment part.
So
because you can tell like speakers going bad,
yeah,
in theaters and that.
So I feel like Liberty,
yeah,
does a really good
the
job with
center.
The balance. Well, both sides,
yeah,
of it, but like,
oh, okay,
the, because like I don't like the restaurant side of it.
Well, sure,
but,
yeah.
Like just
I found
I don't
out now that they're serving food during the whole movie.
Right.
It doesn't sound,
yeah,
like.
So, but they have the regular Cobb where it doesn't,
yeah,
serve food.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of my favorite places to go see a movie.
Okay.
But I'm going to Regal for this because they had the better showtime and it's,
oh,
on,
okay,
the big RPX screen.
Yeah, the showtimes on movies are weird. Lately.
Well, it's 3 hours,
you know,
and two
I
minutes
still
long.
I haven't seen,
so,
Shazam because they don't play it at,
right,
a convenient
they
time.
They do not. It's like, what the hell? Because I haven't seen it yet either.
I'm
so.
Like, you know, it's like,
at this point, I'm going to wait till it comes out on HBO.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the DC streaming service.
If she doesn't take off Monday, I might go see it Monday. Yeah. I don't know.
Ooh, maybe I'll do a double feature Friday.
There you go. There you go. If you're early in the early part of the day, that would be worth it.
I mean, if it's 11, so 11:30,
I mean, I'm going in
so
at
2
6,
o'clock.
So I'm not getting out until 10.
Yeah.
I already know that.
Yeah. I'll
I've
get out around
been like,
2.
Eat without me. I'm going to watch Captain America die. I'm going to watch everybody come back, but Captain America's going to sacrifice himself.
Ooh.
You don't think that's going to happen? Nebula's going to get hold of that gauntlet and take out Thanos.
And then someone's going to have to take out Nebula.
No. She'll die in the process. She can't handle that power.
No. Did you see...
But the abuse that he put her through, that's going to top it. Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Brie Larson at the premiere where she had like the rings? She had five rings. So she had five rings on and they were all the right color. And then her bracelet was the the Mind Stone or whatever's in the middle there.
That's cool.
It was really neat. And it's like, spoiler?
I don't see that character wearing the gauntlet. But.
Well, who knows? Anyway, I'm excited
to
see.
You know who knows? Doctor Strange knows.
Yeah.
He's watched that movie more times than anybody
what
else.
What was it? 14,132 and a half. And
he
didn't
spoil
it.
I hate those memes. I am too. So tired of that.
I will say, so we're going to talk about Game of Thrones in
after the
2 weeks.
Episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say one of my favorite things about this season is the memes. Just the
see, I have to avoid them until after I watch the episode, which I watched the episode on Monday. Oh, I seen that one.
Like,
yeah.
So it's the one that says, John, my real name is Aegon Targaryen. Danny, who told you? John Brand, the next episode, it's a flaming wheelchair. Those are all very funny. Oh, you like that
I
one.
Seen
so,
that one,
yeah.
Anyway, I seen that
I'm
one.
I'm not going to describe that one. Just go to Instagram and look at what Johnny likes, and you'll get it.
I like his story.
Dude. Yeah.
The best part of that episode was them sitting around the fire chatting.
So.
Like, just an episode of chatting.
Oh, yeah. It was literally an episode of exposition, and it was great. And I tell you what, it would not, and for anyone who was, like, kind of lukewarm on the first episode, like... There's no way the second episode is as good without the first episode setting things up.
Say,
and
I
really
liked really
the first
lukewarm
episode.
On that. I liked it. I just thought like it's set up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, this is the beginning of the
so
8-part movie.
They're 2, 2, and 2. Like stories.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's three there's two stories left to tell.
Two stories or three stories?
Well,
eight episodes,
six,
isn't it?
Six episodes.
Oh, it's only six?
Yeah.
I thought it was 8 episodes.
No, it's 6.
Oh, well.
So
so next week's Avengers Endgame, and the week after that'll be the first half of Game of Thrones.
Three episodes of Game of Thrones, yeah.
And we free comic book day.
And Star Wars Day and Gym City and all that fun stuff.
Star Wars Day.
So May the 4th and comic book day are the same day. So
that isn't Star Wars Day. Star Wars Day happens in September this year. Triple Star Wars Day is what it's called.
Triple Star Wars Day?
That's literally what Hasbro is calling it.
Why?
That's when all the figures come out for the new movie.
We
don't have
midnight?
A Toys R Us to go to.
Are we going
to
do the midnight release to Walmart?
What the hell? I was going to say, what the hell? Where are we going to go?
I don't know.
Order all that shit online.
It's like
just wait for it to come.
Hasbro Pulse. And
Hasbro
hope
Pulse.
We get it.
Yeah, that's probably where the triple comes in.
Yeah, triple the price.
No.
Anyway.
Hasbro Pulse is the same as
retail. I mean,
retail,
it's retail,
so,
so.
Yeah.
Which, it was kind of shitty that the Hasbro Pulse booth had everything for MSRP.
Well, they had to ship it there.
Yeah.
They had to pay the union guys to build the booth.
Nah.
I don't know. Well, it's all going up anyways.
Yeah.
Later this year. So before Rise of Skywalker, the price of the Black Series will go up to
$22. Yeah.
Marvel Legends are going up to $25.
Yeah, I'm done with Marvel Legends then. The minute they hit 25, I'll get like individual
figures.
That's
when I'll buy
but,
the characters. Yeah. Oh, God, excuse me. That'll be when I buy the characters I like and then hunt down the Build-A-Figures.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they showed the Spider-Man Homecoming figures or Far From Home figures, and I'm like, there's a few.
The Mysterio looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
if they do a Jake Gyllenhaal head, you know.
The
like I said, they didn't do a Michael Keaton head for Vulture.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
The Voice of America Target had two full sets of the Cull Obsidian line.
Oh, yeah. That's showing up now.
Yeah. It's like, really? Yeah. Really, guys?
A year later.
Yeah.
A year later. So next year you will get the Thanos and the armor.
Well, because remember, I was looking for the Thor, and you finally found me a loose one. Well, and it's like, I don't care about the rest of the figures. I don't care about Call Obsidian. So, yeah. Although now, like, that I've seen him, like, whole, it's kind of like, eh. But, like.
Yeah, Casey had the all four
of them, yeah.
And with Thanos. And I'm like. Yeah, but now the armored Thanos is the Build-A-Figure, and that'll look awesome with that set.
But, I could buy the Cole Obsidian for cheaper than $120.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and if you just want it Thor, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I for some reason, I got into collecting Thor figures. I don't know why. Like, I just really like the latest Thor figures. Maybe, I don't know.
It's your Hemsworth crush.
Well, then I'd have all the Ant-Man figure.
Paul Rudd? What, there's two?
I said figure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's the one in the dual pack with yellow
jacket.
Yeah,
but it's just the regular Ant-Man head. Oh, no, I do. I have that one. Yeah, I have the 10-year. So, yeah, I have the Ant-Man figure. So, all right, guys.
You're like, darn it, I forgot.
I forgot. All right, on that note, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
This was 1983. Maybe. We'll do this again in a month.
We got to pick another year, though. We can't do 1983 again.
Well, no. I do like the randomizer I used because it's actually very random.
It's super random.
So,
dude, I'm so dreading.
It argues with me. It does because you can put in the day. Like if you wanted to do from a certain date to a certain date with a year, and I'll put it in as just the year, and it'll ask me for a date, and then I change one thing and it's like, okay, now it just does the year. Weird. It does it from January to December.
If there's a year that you guys want us to do, because so far we've done 2007, 1983, and 1990.
Is that it?
Yeah, we've only done three of these. So if there's a year you guys want us to cover,
like we did more.
We've only done three.
I know.
I was just looking
because
I was just going on Anchor and putting old episodes up. So.
Well, right. And the thing is I have to look
when
I do the randomizer because I'm like, what years did we do?
Right.
And that. So.
Anyhow. All right, guys. On that note, we'll see you next week.
See you later.
The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.